Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Yeah, Paul told us this. He promised that there would be not a few, but many who corrupted the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 2:17. The Bible promises over and over and over. And I can't remember in every message I've heard in local church houses, I don't know if I've heard one or two ever on deceivers and false prophets. And the Bible is so replete with that teaching to warn the sheep of the pasture of the Lord to beware of false prophets. Our Lord and Savior that we say we worship said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening, devouring wolves." Matthew 7, verse 15. That's a good one to memorize. In the most popular chapter in the Bible about the last days, Matthew 24, Jesus tells his disciples when they asked him, they said, "Lord, what is going to be the sign of your coming?" And the first thing he mentions was there's going to be many deceivers, leading many astray. Many, many, not a few, many. Matthew 24, read the chapter, go through and look at all the times. I can give you a hint. Verse 3 through 5, verse 11, and verse 24. You want to cross-reference those because they deal with false prophets and how there are going to be many of them leading many. Remember Jesus taught in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, that enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it.
You're hitting a lot on deception. It's important, and I try to stress this to my kids. But things that I keep seeing here is, and it's the Word of God, that we are the ones who choose to put everything else before God's Word and before Him, forsaking our first love, thus opening the door for our loss of our salvation, a loss of our soul to these influences and things. We put everything in this temporal realm of world that's going to pass away before God. So basically, we're choosing these temporal pleasures before God for a lifetime of misery and eternity. This doesn't sound like a good deal to me.
That's absolutely right. In fact, stay right there on the mic. I want you to read something for us. Go to Matthew 24. This is the chapter on the last days. And we're still going to go into 2 Timothy 3. But look, read this right here. In the last days, Jesus said this about verse 10 through 13.
"And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved."
All right, so who did Jesus promise was going to be saved? Those that endure to the end. And another place, Luke 21, he says, "In your patience possess ye your souls." I'm going to check the reference. In your patience, or in your endurance, possess ye your soul. Wait a minute, brother. You say that I'm saved by my own works. No. But Jesus said, "He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved." Endures in faith. It's 21:19. Luke 21:19. "In your patience possess ye your soul." I didn't make up the gospel, but I want to honestly observe it. Jesus Christ said, "He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved." You just read that out of the Word of God. So you can deny him if you want. I'm not going to argue with people. That's what he said. And Jesus said to his own disciples, Matthew 10:22. This is digging deep, isn't it? It's digging deep in our heart. It's a blessing. I'm hearing the Word of God just like you are. Matthew 10:22. Jesus promised his own 12. Now, what makes us think we're any different? Jesus said, "You will be hated of all men for my name's sake." You will. You're going to be hated if you follow me. "But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved." All of heaven's glory is going to be yours, of which we cannot even fathom. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for them them that know him. I want you to read the last two chapters in the Bible, and I don't have to tell you to get excited because you will be. That great city of Jerusalem, that new city of Jerusalem that Jesus spoke about in Revelation 3:5 is going to come down out of heaven. Revelation 21:22. It's going to come down out of heaven, and God is actually going to dwell among men. How do you put that into words? I mean, that's unfathomable. Now we see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I'm not going to touch that, but it's absolutely awe-inspiring. It's incredible. I don't even have words for it. That God is going to dwell among men. He's going to tabernacle with men. I don't want to miss that for the world, because all this stuff's going to be over soon. But he that endures to the end, he didn't promise his disciples, sister, that, listen, y'all are my 12, I chose you. You're automatically saved. Just, man, listen, you know, you can obey me if you want. Was that his message? No, no. He said, you're going to be hated for following me. I'm promising you this. How many people know we need promises in our refrigerator that are more balanced, not just a little cherry-picked ones at the Word of Faith? Those are promises too, but you're misunderstanding them if you're ignoring the rest and the whole counsel of God. But what about this promise on your fridge? 2 Timothy 3:12. All, you know what all means in the Greek? It means all. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not might, but shall. So get ready for it. And then when you do, you're not shocked by it. You're like, praise the Lord. Now, what did Jesus say about persecution? I'm trying to get to that 2 Timothy text. Maybe we will. But what did he say about persecution? Brother Sean, Matthew 5:10-12, Jesus says some beautiful things. What's that say, brother? Matthew 5:10-12.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
Great is your reward in heaven.
For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
What we're doing today is we're getting in the Word. I didn't know exactly, I don't anymore. I don't know where I'm going to start, finish, go in. You know, we just get in the Word together. We're not, nobody's trying to, you know, this is all about getting in the Word. It's not about anybody, you know, strutting around like a rooster and entertaining. We're getting in the Word, plurality of elders, enjoying the Word together, but sometimes it's rough. The Bible says that there are those who are heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will not endure sound doctrine. I want to ask you, are you enduring sound doctrine? You know, sound doctrine sometimes, Sister Barbara, is like a plow that goes real deep in our hearts. It hurts, doesn't it? It does. But it's all for the good. It's all for the good. If you bear fruit, God says He's going to chasten you and prune you so that you can bring forth more fruit. We want to be those who endure sound doctrine.
Y'all talk about persecution and perishing and stuff like that as you have your relationship with Christ, because you're going to, the world will hate you and or become your enemy. It's really, really weird, because I'm beginning to see that a lot more, because over the past week and in our school, you know, we have a message, we have an awesome school that we go to, and we get the Word. And I used to be afraid of talking to my mom and about their Word of Faith and stuff like that, but you know what? I don't care anymore, because that's their soul.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Their soul is very important. And last night, when my husband and him were talking about it, and he was talking about, who was it? She got like kind of, have you read that book? I don't remember who it was. But I felt myself, or my Holy Spirit, say, shut up. Because most of the time I tell Don, don't start with her, you know? Mm-hmm. But you know what? I don't want my mom to stay here. I don't want my dad to stay here. I don't want my nieces or nephews to stay here. And Esther, we learned in Esther that Esther said to Mordecai, if I perish, I perish. You know, and that's strong. You know, that's very strong. I mean, so what if we die? We know where we're going. We know where our souls are going, but where are theirs going? What if they wake up and we're gone? And they're here. That's going to be hell for them. And they haven't even seen hell when they stay here. And I tell this to my daughters all the time. Hell is going to be hell. And it's not nothing nice. Fear with all you got. And they think I'm being harsh with them. But my God, I mean, come on now.
You know, let me read you a little menu of hell. This is a taste of what the Bible says about hell. Place of complete consciousness. There's a menu right there. A complete consciousness. Remember in Luke 16, there was a man who lived in pleasure in his earthly life. And when he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell and he begged for a drop of water. This man is a certain man that literally existed. And Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, whose air we now breathe this instant right now, who made each one of us, said that this man went to hell about 2,000 years ago, and he's still in hell this moment. When a billion years have expired from Earth's timetable, not 1 second will have expired from eternity's timetable. He's going to be there forever in conscious torment. This is a man who cried out for water. One drop, he was denied that. Because in his earthly life, he chose that I don't need the Lord. It's his hardness of heart. Am I right? Not all cases. Somebody reached out to me and cared enough and gave me the gospel like you're doing. They cared.
Those that are content that I'm seeing in street ministry and things, those that are happy, that have things, that are consumed, don't even care about the gospel. It's those that are
that desire the gospel of God. See, I see it a lot is, like I said, is those that have so much of this world, they don't realize that they're in need of a savior. But you go to a gang member, you go to a guy that's in the penitentiary that has realized that they're in serious situation. They need help. They're more understanding of the gospel. They're more willing to hear, you know. And you know what's really a promise that I see in the Bible is God will shake. He's going to shake the heavens and earth. He's going to shake the body of Christ. And I was praying a couple weeks ago and I just felt the Lord. I said, Lord, shake the church. Persecution will come, and hopefully it's going to lead many of the church back to repentance and back to Christ. Shake the church. And like that's just something that I see is these people are shaken and broken. But go to Pebble Creek, where I used to work, $1 million homes, golfing on Sundays. They don't think they need the gospel.
Yeah, and that rich man, the Bible says, fared sumptuously, and yet he woke up in hell. He was immediately in hell, Brother Quentin, when he died. How many people think that that guy would give anything, he can't, but would give anything to have one more breath on earth to cry out in repentance toward God? What is the second one there? What's the second one on the list, brother? Read that, Brother Matthew. What's that second one? This is a menu of hell and what awaits in hell.
Torment with fire and brimstone.
Go ahead. This reference is after each one of these.
A place of eternal remorse, regret. A place of torments. Mm-hmm. No rest, day or night, forever. Eternal misery. A furnace with fire, with wailings. A place of everlasting burnings. A lake, ocean of fire. Unquenchable fire. Outer darkness. No second chance to escape. Utter hopelessness. A place of sorrows, seething remorse and despair. A place of everlasting destruction.
Our calling is to make it vivid through what God says. Jesus warned about this place called hell. And he said that it was actually better for you to cut off your hand, pluck out your eyes, lest your whole being would be cast into hell forever, into this place. And this is just a glimpse. These are just a few verses. So is your sin and your denial of God's rulership in your personal life really worth it? Only you can decide that. But it's important that we talk about it because this is what the Bible lays out.
I think if it was up to me, I think that everybody, it should be like a law that people take a class on what would happen if you did not accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because in our school, when we learned this, it brought me to like a fear that I needed to have with God. I don't want to stay in here, and neither do none of y'all, because this is actually really gonna happen if you choose not to want to walk with Christ and keep y'all's eyes on Christ. Because, I mean, if you have it here, it just bears witness to me saying that this is truly gonna happen.
It's happening right now.
Yeah, and I know we seen it in scripture. We studied in scripture. They gave us the same things that you did, actually a little bit more scriptures. Yeah. But you know what? If a man that we totally just met, guys, that can see this, and I can go home and show you the notes and stuff, this is really gonna happen.
It's in the Word.
And nobody's gonna be able to help you. Not mom, not Sean, not grandma, not grandpa, not nobody. Just you, yourself, and Christ, what y'all's relationship with Christ, yeah. Not your friend, Vivi, Andrew, Marissa, and Karis, nobody. This is serious. Mm-hmm. And it's scary. I don't know about y'all, but just hearing it makes me cry because I don't want nobody to stay behind. And you know what? The part where it says that you will show that remorse, regret, you are going to be shown that time where somebody came to you and said, would you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? Would you? And he's going to show you when y'all said, no, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I'm doing good things. He's going to show you every time. And then guess what? Then you go down.
Oh, I just wanted to say that for an example, you know, when a house catch fire, have you ever stood on the outside of it? Not right at it, but you can stand way across the street or down the street and you can feel this, the heat of it. Mm-hmm. And just think, your air conditioner can break. And you can't even stand that heat.
Here's the thing, guys. Here's the simple truth is that God is holy and that he cannot fellowship with unholy beings. What is your current state? Oh, I've been saved. Well, I'm glad you've been saved, beloved. But where are you today? Today is a day of salvation. God always has his hand on the pulse of where you are today. And if you're not abiding in Christ, what does that mean? Does my perfect performance have to be perfect? That's not what he said. You can get cleansed just like that. The blood that he shed runs just as fresh in heaven's fount as the moment it was shed. Now, if you'll come confidently before the throne of grace, you'll obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Somebody at our Tuesday night Bible study said the other night, he started hearing the word that Matthew and others and we were preaching out of the gospel. And this guy's been in church all his life. He's in his 50s. He looked at us with his face like frightful to Ned and said, you mean I really have to get right with God? It was almost like he was realizing at that time. Then a little while later, he looked at me, goes, are you saying I have to be perfect? And about that time, I just started praying instant, you know, in prayers. I want to give the right answer because this guy was searching. And I looked up at him and everybody was silent. I said, yeah, you do. You have to be absolutely perfect. But when you confess your sins, you're perfectly washed by the perfect blood of the Son of God. Completely. All your sins are washed away and removed as far as the east is from the west. Your sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. But I don't know about you, but I'm real happy about that.
Yeah. Okay. This is what I want to say. I was talking to Matthew last night and I was telling him about how I was feeling about, I was thinking about Nehemiah, how he had to go and he took it upon himself to go to rebuild the walls. And I was thinking in the sense that, you know, we are elite, a group of people who have committed ourselves to God and to really want the truth and to live holy before God. And the thing that I was sharing with him is that it takes us working together and coming together to at first rebuild the walls in our lives, you know, before we can go out and help others to rebuild the wall in their lives. And then all of us collectively, you know, and when I'm saying rebuild a wall, I mean restoring what has been destroyed as it relates to the truth of the word. Because I was telling Matthew, I was thinking the other day how, you know, you hear people who talk about they're going to go and start a church. And my question came to my mind was, how can you go and start something that Christ already started? You know, because he said that we are the church. That we are the church. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not, all these buildings that we go to and that we have so-called consecrated, which is still the same thing that it was when they built it from the ground up, or, you know, is worldly. And we have to begin to understand what is going on with us in our thinking, and why are we allowing other people to import their thoughts and their definition of God and Christ to us when God has put him, has presented himself to us as in black and white, because he knew that his word is going to go through generation. Yeah, we don't see Jesus here in the flesh, but we see Jesus through the word, and we begin to engulf ourselves into his word, and he began to manifest his feelings in us. And that's how we know that he's real, you know, because I mean, you just think about, you got to think about what's true. You know, and it has to start with us. You know, my commitment first is to my family, to my wife and my children and my son, rather, because I don't want my son to be a follower. I don't want my son to make decisions based on what somebody else is telling him and influencing him to do. I want him to have his own mind. I want the foundation to be in Christ and in the word, and I'm not going to start teaching him certain things until he's able to understand exactly what he's doing and why he's doing it as it relates to the word. You know, I teach him about Jesus, and you know, we're reading to him, but my commitment is to my family, because that's my first ministry, and I can't force feed them God in the word. I have to minister it to them in love, just like if I go minister it to a stranger. You know, it gets me how a lot of people, you know, will be more kind to a stranger than they will be to their own families, to their children, to their wives, and to one another. And that's a part of God too, because we have to know how to present him, you know, and not everybody is presenting him the way he desires to be presented. And so a lot of people turn off because of the presentation. I mean, Christmas time, a lot of people want their gifts wrapped up in pretty paper and this and that. Well, you have to take some time and think about how you're going to present Christ to not only the sinner, but as far as the perfecting aspect of it, to each other, to build up and edify, you know, because after you talk about the word, there's no way that a person should be feeling down and hurt and angry after that.
Well, Todd finishes. I was just going to make a statement that one thing I've endeavored to do, and anybody knows that who's come here, I've endeavored to do to give people the truth. Now, if they accept it or reject it, that's on them. But I know I've done my part by not holding back and putting it out there. And I've said this one Sunday in a very moving moment, that I am not here to raise an offering. I'm not here to build a building. I'm not here to come up with a program for next week. I'm not here about, you know, we're going cruising next year. I'm not here about Matthew and what me and Tanetta wants to do and build a ministry, you know, and for people to come and take care of us. That's not my job. I'm not concerned about any of that. What I'm concerned about is the hearts and souls of men, because I know, even though we're living in this material world, I know one day that this is going to come to an end. I don't know what day. I don't know when. I don't know any of that, because that's not been given to me. Only the Father in heaven knows that. But I do know it's coming, and I do know that we have to be prepared. I know many of my family members that are going straight to hell, not because they have not heard the truth, because they refuse. They keep rejecting the truth when it's given to them. Now, they can laugh at me, because they do laugh at me, and I don't care. They can laugh at me. Oh, you preaching to the same group, so you ain't getting nobody saved. Number one, I don't save anybody. I don't care what they say about me or what they do. But one thing I'm going to be is true to the word of God. I don't care about building the ministry. I ran into a pastor in the airport, you know, always talking about, oh yeah, won't you go get a hotel? Won't you go do this? Don't give me instructions. My instructions have been already given to me. See, if they would pay attention to the instructions in the book, Paul said this, that I endeavor to preach Christ and him crucified. That's our job, is to preach Christ and him crucified, not to preach prosperity, not to preach building up ourselves, not to preach self-esteem. It's about Christ and him crucified. And that's what I endeavor to do every Sunday. It's not a one Sunday that you don't come here and you're going to hear hear that you got to give up your life and follow Christ. And not just them, but me also. I'm endeavoring to do the same thing. The same thing I preach, I've endeavored to live the same thing I preach. And that has to be our message to a dying world that's going to hell, not come and get what you can from God. That's not the message to the body. That's not the message to the world. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message. But we refuse to stay true to the message. We want to follow people who will deceive us. And you know, the sad part about it, we're becoming willfully ignorant through our own hearts. And I just feel like doing this. I just feel like, what do your feelings have to do with the word of God? Nothing. It's the flesh and the self life that you want to follow. I must take up my cross daily. I must lay down my life daily. That's the message. Now, if I don't have but five people in here, I'm okay with that, because there are five people that are on their way following Christ. That's all I care. I don't care about packing a place out. I don't care about having 100,000 people follow me. What's the point? You say, oh yeah, I brought 100,000 people into the kingdom of God, but you brought them into the kingdom of the enemy. And then when they wake up and say, oh, I follow Reverend so-and-so, I went to Reverend so-and-so church, and then they wake up and they're in hell because they refuse to come out of her, and they want to serve the beast and the world. What's the point? And we end up in hell. What's the point if I end up in hell and I got a building seating 5,000 and I dedicated a building? What is the point and I still go to hell? What is the point if I drive up to my 35,000 square foot house, I have 10 cars, and I'm still going to hell? There's no point in it.
The Apostle Paul said, preach the word. That goes to everybody here. Just preach the word. When you have preached the truth in love, the scriptures, you can go to bed at night and have a sound heart and a sound sleep. You can't decide for somebody else. You can only decide, this is the, you know, today is the day of salvation for me. I want you to have this beautiful thing. How shall we escape the fires of eternal judgment if we neglect so great a salvation? People don't know what they're missing. This great Savior and the salvation that he has purchased by his own blood for us. Preach the word, he said. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Oh, whoa, brother. You're not walking in love. You rebuke somebody. That's a biblical thing to do. It appears all over the Bible. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, their unpurged sinful lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers, because they have itching ears. They just want to hear what they want to hear. Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, I want to be rich. Oh, yeah, I want a nice little wonderful life. Because many there be which enter into that wide road that leads to destruction. When Jesus preached his word, 5,000 men, and this probably meant about 5,000 women and children, all left. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus say, oh, wait a minute, don't leave. We can work something out. Did he say that?
No.
No. His word's not going to change. When the rich young ruler heard the word of God and didn't repent, when Jesus said you need to give up all you have because that idol of covetousness and greed is going to damn your soul, Jesus loved him. So he said, it even says Jesus loved him. When he told him you needed to give it all up to enter into the kingdom and he walked away, did Jesus call him back and make special arrangements? No. You know, I heard a vision once. I don't ever repeat visions, but this is one I do. You can measure it yourself. I like it. Guy down in Beaumont, his name was Bert Clendenden. Anybody ever heard of him? Years ago, somebody was giving me his tapes. He was worth listening to. He was an older guy back then. I don't know if he's still preaching now or not. But he said God gave him a vision one day. And he was walking through, there was a man walking through waist-high fire, picking up bodies and looking for somebody and throwing them down, picking up bodies, throwing them down, and couldn't find what he was looking for. And Brother Bert said, Lord, what does that mean? He says, that's an angry man in hell looking for a preacher that lied to him. If that doesn't bring home what he was saying. Well, let's read 2 Timothy 3. I'm trying to get over to Job. This little text I think is going to bless you and answer some of your questions, sister. But let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. They're not might going to come. They shall come. We see them unfolding before our eyes in an accelerated fashion. For men shall be, here's a resume of the hearts of men in the last days. Men shall be, You know, let's skip to verse 5 real quick before we read this. Notice this isn't necessarily just in the world. This is specifically in the church world because he said they have a form of godliness, verse 5. So these aren't the world's people don't have a form of godliness. This is, and they're actually learning things, verse 7. They're ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because they won't do with what the Holy Spirit brought about earlier when Matthew was speaking during a devotional about giving your life a living sacrifice to God. We have nothing if we're not willing to give our lives up for Christ. You can ever learn. You can keep learning scripture. You can learn all kinds of stuff and never come to the knowledge of the truth if you're not willing to lay down your life so Christ can live. That's why the preaching of the cross is so important. I will say that you guys are in good hands at this point because there's an endeavoring to preach the full counsel of God. So rare.
Brother Matthew and led me to apostasy watch, and there's a prophecy. I don't really get into much of prophecies. Like I'm a little skeptical on, but one in 1988, I believe it's really powerful. Just where he said, you're in the right hands and the ministers and stuff like that. Don't ever put your faith in Matthew, me, or that's anybody right. else in this. That's Brother right. Brian, do not do it because you know what? I'm even fearful myself on that. Okay. We don't do that. We read the word and we let the Spirit teach us. We teach, God's led us, but do never think just because we're on point right now that we'll always be on point. I pray to God that we're always on point, that the Spirit, we're always humble and dying to self and the Spirit's leading us, but don't ever trust in that because that's so many people are being led astray because they do that.
That's good. Yeah. In fact, that's a good point, bro. The Bible says that in the latter times, 1 Timothy 4:1, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith and they'll teach certain false doctrines. 1 Timothy 4:1-3. It didn't say they would depart from leadership positions or from pulpits or church buildings, but they would depart from the faith. We don't put our trust in men. That's absolutely true. But we do have to discern who we're under. And they bet if they're not teaching, endeavoring to keep the preach the full counsel of God, then you shouldn't be gathering with them. Right. And that's what qualified what I meant. But he brings up an extremely important point, by the way. Okay, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Anybody see self-love going on? Covetousness, boasters, proud. Anybody see pride? Deal with pride. If you're alive, say yes. Blasphemers, they use the name of the Lord in vain. If you use the name of the Lord in vain, you're a blasphemer. In the eyes of a holy God. Now, what does that mean to use the name of the Lord God in vain to say GD? No, not necessarily. That's a form. But even more specific is calling and using the name of the Lord to get your agenda accomplished. Or using the name of the Lord in vain. You use His name, but your heart is far from Him. Though you worship Him with your lips like the Pharisees. That is using the name of the Lord your God in vain, which is blasphemy. Disobedient to parents. God help us to honor our parents. Amen. Doesn't mean we have to follow them to hell if they're not saved, but let's honor them. Unthankful. By the way, you know, it's beautiful when I see a young person that loves their mom and dad. That's just, I could just sit there and watch it. I mean, that's just awesome. That's just something. Well, and even your friends that seem to be rebellious, when they see somebody that doesn't respect their own parents, what does that tell you about a person? If you're single and you're looking at a girl or a guy as a potential man, how do they treat their mom and dad? That's an important thing. You know, our parents aren't perfect. How many people have perfect parents? Don't raise your hand because we're all after Adam, okay? None of us have perfect parents, but we can still love them, thank God for them, pray for them, and honor them. Again, we don't have to think just like them or do things just like they did them, but let's honor our parents. That's in the Ten Commandments. Honor your parents. I think all of these are in the Ten Commandments, right? Because look at the first one. Lovers of their own selves. What does the first commandment say? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall worship the Lord, right? We're either worshiping the Lord or ourselves, right? If we don't worship the Lord diligently, we will default and revert back to type and begin to worship self. Covetousness. There's the 10th commandment. You got the first and the 10th right there. Thou shalt not covet. When you're content because you're worshiping God, He's calling you to come drink of the water of life freely. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Third commandment says, shall not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Disobedient to parents. One of the 10 commandments says, honor your father and mother, right? Unthankful. That comes about by not being content with the Lord. Yeah, unholy covers them all, doesn't it? Without natural affection.
When I first got to the our Bible college, I was asking God for a job and stuff like that. And for some odd reason, I have four kids and I'm a very little impatient because, you know, boys and stuff like that. Well, I was praying to God to break this heart of mine, to make me love, let me love like children love. Because what I was seeing is that you can discipline. I can discipline these girls, ground them, whatever. But they're going to come back to me and tell me they love me or something like that, just like the boys do. Well, I ended up getting a job in a daycare. And I kid you not, being surrounded by kids, babies, little bitty babies that laugh and laugh and laugh and cry and cry and still be able to love them. God was really, really moving there. And I really, really think that people ought to see children and say, God, let me love like they do, because they love. I mean, I kid you not, like I said, you can spank them or discipline them and they'll come back and give you the most biggest hug and tell you that they love you. I want to love like that. I want to love like that 24/7 towards my kids, my husband, let it be whoever. But God blessed me with that job and I was like, wow. You know, I asked God to bless me, to show me how to love again, and he put me in a daycare with nothing but kids. And I love it. And I love it. And they tell me, hi, Miss Lori. And so, and I get after them, but they still tell me, they'll come up and give me the biggest hug ever.
That's beautiful.
So I was like, wow.
Thank you. Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is Matthew 18:3. What did Jesus do with kids? His disciples tried to prevent the kids from coming to him, right? Mark 10 is one of the places. Mark 10, if you want to write this down and go check it out. Mark 10:13-16. Jesus tells them, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, humbly and obediently, he shall not enter therein. Does that need explanation? Not a whole lot, huh? And he took them up in his arms and Jesus took children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. That's what Jesus thinks of children. Psalm 127:128, children are a blessing. They're the heritage of the Lord. Children are a blessing. Children are a blessing. Children are a blessing. They're new life and they're to be trained up in the way of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6. Continuing in 2 Timothy with a menu of the state of fallen man within the church walls in the modern church, if you will, today, as it applies today, in the last days, they will be without natural affection, verse 3, truce breakers, false accusers. We could really run with that one. Jesus promised in Matthew 5:11 that you would be accused falsely. If you get accused falsely, know that it's something you're suffering because you know the Lord, so rejoice. Brother Sean read that text earlier, Matthew 5:10-12, but verse 11 says, Jesus promised that we'd be falsely accused. Incontinent, fierce. That's increasing, isn't it? Incontinent. Okay, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady. That has to do with just living to the flesh. High-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Isn't that what we've been talking about today? Who are you going to love? Who are you going to love? Who are you going to love? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power or the reign of Christ, the authority of Christ thereof, from such withdraw thyself. Do you hear the definition? Incontinent means without self-control. Incontinent is one of the words here. Without self-control. When you're controlled by the Holy Ghost because you're abiding in Christ. Okay, and then it says in verse 7 that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus
shall suffer persecution.
In the last days, we're talking about here in this text,
evil men and seducers
shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, I'm going to try to make this next text our last one, Job chapter 22, and come in for a landing here, Job chapter 22. And we're going to begin reading in verse 21, and I'm going to try to speak fast because our goal is just not to see how long we can go today. That's not our goal, okay? I think we don't need to be in a rush, but also we don't want to drag things out unnecessarily. We've been in the Word since we started, right? That's good. Whether you realize the fruit yet, and you're not going to realize the fruit, Brother Stephen, of everything now, but later on, these seed thoughts of the Word, the references you've got, this is going to be rich in our lives. Verse 21 of Job 22, acquaint now thyself with God. Let's stop right there. The Bible tells us that the whole reason why God created man was that we might know Him, right? Jesus said in John 17:3, very, very important verse, Don't know if I've hardly heard it in national ministries. I'm dumbfounded as to why this verse isn't memorized. 17:3. Jesus said, "This is life eternal." This is the whole reason for eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's the whole reason why God sent his only begotten Son. That's the whole reason why Jesus came, is that we might know him. Paul said his whole goal in life was that I may know him, power of his resurrection and fellowship of his sufferings, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, that I may know him, that I may know him. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24, the Lord says, don't boast in anything else except that you know me. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24, Daniel 11:32 tells us that those that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Daniel 11:32. That's a beautiful promise. And those that love the Lord are known of him. 1 Corinthians 8:3. Remember, I never knew you. Matthew 7:22 and 23. Do you see a recurring theme here? How about this one? 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. That's one we should memorize. Brother Sean and I will talk about that one yesterday. Memorize that verse. He that loveth not knoweth not God. If I don't walk in love, as the Bible defines it, not fleshly love, but by the Spirit. If I don't walk in love, you can be sure of this, I don't know the Lord. 1 John 4:8. 1 Corinthians 13, guys, I want to encourage you to read that chapter every day this week. And let it be, and pray before you read it. You know, the chapter of love, 1 Corinthians 13. If we don't have love, it's a manifestation that we don't know the one who is love. God is love. And it says in 1 John 4:16, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. If you have love, it's the clearest manifestation that you're dwelling in God who is love. Okay, if we don't have love, we're nothing, 1 Corinthians 13, right? Though we give our bodies to be burned, we prophesy, we have faith to remove mountains. If we don't have love, we're nothing. Acquaint now thyself with God. The first time somebody shared this verse with me, as a reference, I went home and I was offended. Is he trying to say I don't know God? That's pride. Do I know God good enough? No. Can you be too sure that you know God? No. It's a blessing. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law, the word, from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. Does that need explanation? I love Proverbs 4:4. Let thine heart retain my words. And then same chapter, verse 21, let not the words of God depart from thine eyes. Proverbs 4:4 and 21. Verse 23 of Job 22, if thou return, that's another word interchangeable with repentance in the Bible. If thou return to the Almighty, that can be a daily thing, huh? Thou shalt be what? What's going to happen? You'll be built up, you'll be strong in the Lord, right? In his power and might. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacle. And remember earlier we talked about how God is progressively sanctifying those who are seeking his face. And it's little by little, Exodus 23, 29 and 30. You wrote that one down earlier. But you see, as we acquaint ourselves with God and get to know him and seek his face in a life of prayer communion and put his word in our hearts, returning to the Almighty, we're going to be built up in the Lord. Strengthened in him, his might and power in us by his grace through Christ, and we're going to put away iniquity far from us. You see, you can't put iniquity away by yourself, and God wouldn't be glorified if he could. The scripture says, if ye through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And that's Romans 8:13. It's through the Spirit that these things are done. Now, I'm going to stop right there and go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. You can go there if you like. I'm going to quote it to you. I'm going to try to come in for a landing here. There's more in that text, but we'll leave it right there. These are the extremely important things. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord. I'm going to wait. I hear pages flipping. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed. How many people know God wants to change us into the same image of the Lord from glory to glory? Doesn't happen all at once, does it? From glory to glory, even as by, how's it done? By the Spirit of the Lord, right? Is there anybody that feels like they need some prayer this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. We all do.
I'm ready on the floor. I'm ready.
Well, we're just going to ask the Lord for whatever people have need of, and the Lord's going to do the rest, Brother Matthew. And if you don't have a specific request and you just want prayer, we'll just ask the Lord to bless you according to his word. Sean, is that what you want us to do, brother?
I started looking at like, man, my wife sure does need that right there. My wife needs that. And I need that. I'm feeling in that. I'm feeling it. I'm sitting there looking at like everybody else, but then like the Lord just told me, I'm neat of them. I'm neat of those fruits, those characteristics, everything.
You know, Job 19:28, he said, the root of the matter is in me. Yeah. And that's what we all have to come to.
I think surely around that time, he said, there's a hope for a tree if it's cut down. I need to be cut down.
Father, we love you. We praise you for this day you've made. We will rejoice in it and be glad. We ask you, Lord, to anoint us to the burial, that we would be slain, God. We would lay down our lives. That Brother Sean would be blessed by your grace, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.